Today's word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we want to title it, Never Lose Hope in the Promise of God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Never lose hope in the promise of God. Today, we will be analyzing the life and actions of one elder. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 2. Hebrews 11, verse 1 to 2. I hope everyone is ready, because we're going to be doing a lot of Bible juggernauting. Amen. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For it, the elders obtained a good testimony. Amen. Hebrews chapter, same chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe. I want to pause and emphasize that word once again. Must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, who consistently seek him, who they are seeking him is not paralytic, who they are seeking him is not today come, tomorrow cold. No, those who consistently and diligently seek him. Then Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, so then, how does, answers a question, a fundamental question that we will discuss even during the workers' anointing this morning. Now, so faith comes by hearing once, hearing a second time by the word of God. So in totality, faith is useless without being attached to the word of God. And the word, and then what if now the word of God is what I call the plus. The plus there is the word of God and our faith, equals to our confession. The confession then becomes what? The establishment of what we are confessing or professing or believing. Hallelujah. Now we're going to use a particular man who I call the man of faith as an example, who when I was studying his life and times, his actions greatly blessed me. It blessed me as a human. It blessed me as a child of God. It just blessed me. And I pray that by his grace, this man's life will be a blessing to you too, in Jesus' name. Today we'll be analyzing the life and actions of one of such elders that the Bible says in Hebrews 11 verse 1 had obtained a good testimony. A man who can best be described as a man of faith, one who was wholly, wholly committed to God, a man who refused to let the others influence the way he served and honored God, a man who was truly led, who truly led others by his life examples, a man who refused to sit back and say, que sera, sera. That whatever will be. For him, it was a life from the pit of hell, and it is a life from the pit of hell. Sometimes if you sit back and say, whatever will be, what you do not need to be in your life will now be there. You now begin to pray prayers that you should not have prayed in the first place. This man was a man I call a man of action. He just a man like you and I today. We will understand from his history that by right, he did not have any part in the promise. But like you and I, because of the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus was our game changer. Prior to the shedding of the blood of Jesus, you and I did not have that right to come to the holies of holies, not to talk of calling out on the name of God. Now, you and I, when we pray and we say, in the name of Jesus, we know why, because this is a name that guarantees an answer. I'm not saying that this is a name for everyone to call. I'm saying that for me, it is a reality. That when I say something and I pray it in the name of Jesus, I have seen the Lord come and move on my behalf. I have testimonies. My husband and I together, we have testimonies. We so even personally standing here, I have testimonies. But let's not talk about me. I want us to talk about this particular man who is an exemplary example of a man of faith. Who am I talking about today? I am talking about the man Caleb. In one of PC's preaching, he says to us that the depth of our understanding and acceptance of God's word is the depth of our freedom. And that is so true. If the word of life of God, the word of God does not come to life in you, you are just groping around in darkness. It doesn't matter how much of the Bible you claim to know. If you do not accept it as a reality, it is just mere words. It becomes just mere words. This man, Caleb, incidentally, in my research and my study of him, his name, if for anyone who did not know, the name Caleb actually means dog. D-O-G. Dog. Now, when I can just imagine him growing up and a lot of people making fun of him back because of his name. But this was a man who went just by the, who took the most profound quality of the animal dog, and he made that his life. He became himself. When I found out that the name Caleb meant dog, I remember the movie that we watched several years ago. The title of the movie is Hachi's Tale, H-A-C-H-I, Hachi's Tale. You need to watch the movie to understand. The movie brought me to a level of understanding of the characteristics of dogs. This was a very special animal. It was bought by his owner as a baby. The owner groomed him until he became a full-grown dog. Obviously, he and his owner had a particular tradition. Whenever his owner was going to work, he would go with, and there was a particular bus stop that he would wait. Whenever it was like he had an internal timing of when his owner was going to come back from work. So he would go to that bus stop or train station and stay there until his owner comes out of the train. And then he and his owner will walk back home together. This was a yearly, daily tradition up until the day his owner died. Would you imagine that even after his owner died, Hachi still continued going to that bus stop? Nobody could talk him out. The owner's grandchildren and great-grandchildren tried to talk him out of going to wait for his owner, trying to make him understand that the owner is not going to come back. But he refused. He held on to the fact that this was what we used to do. He may not be here present, but I'm still going to continue doing this. It might not look like it is, but I am still going to be faithful. This was the life of Caleb. Caleb was a man who was born in captivity. And I'll show you in a moment in the Bible. Now, before I read my main text, I want us to have an understanding of who this man Caleb is. When we go to the book of Genesis chapter 15, from verse 18 to 19, this is a conversation between God and Abraham. God said, on the same day, and the Bible said, on the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. And then the Bible continues. You know, the word of God, there's a reason for everything, every comma, colon, everything. There's something to be gleaned from it. And when you catch that rhema, when I caught it, I went on my face and I was grateful. The next line, verses 19, says, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, and the list continue. But we're going to stop on verse 19. And I want you to pay attention to the very second list of the people that God promised Abraham he was going to drive out for his own children to occupy promise. Now let's go straight to our main text today. Our main text is taken from the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 14, I'm going to read from verse 6 to 15. And I'm going to try to be as fast as I can because of time. Joshua 14 from verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. He was born of a Kenizzite origin. He was part of God's initial plan, to a part of the people that God wanted to drive out, because he was what? A member of the enemy nation. Now, when we look at that book of Genesis, we are like, we almost want to us to like, where is that connection? How does a Kenizzite origin suddenly become a son of Judah? This is my own filler. We know, established from the word of God, that Joseph, God used Joseph to make Egypt a great nation. At the time of famine, I want to believe that many nations came to Egypt to buy food because nobody wanted to die from famine. I want to believe that a certain man, a certain Kenizzite, must have come to Egypt and maybe made friends with a man from Judah. And the man from Judah must have introduced him to the Lord God of Covenant, the God of the tribe, or the God of the people of Israel. He must have told him and preached to him that, you know, we're going to leave this place one day. We have a promise hanging over our head based off our descendant. And this man must have believed, this Kenizzite must have tapped and believed and decided, you know what, okay, I will relocate and come and join these people of promise. So he established his fold in the tribe of Judah. Nothing is coincident. How come it was a tribe of praise? Hallelujah. But it became his life. This man's life must have been such that he became a naturalized Israelite at the time. And because he had bought into this, into the fact, and he was like a reality for him, that he now became a former Kenizzite. He introduced it to his children. This is, parents, we have an awesome responsibility to establish a God that we know into the lives of our children. The Bible says, teach the child the way he should go, so that when he grows up, he will not depart from it. Sometimes it might look like they are departing. But because that word, you believe that this child does not have a choice. I told my children, you do not have a choice. It doesn't matter what you say. You do not have a choice. Why? God will use you. I never give them the option of, do you want to? Mm-mm. God will use you. You do not have a choice in this matter. That God will become a reality in your life. God became a reality in the life of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. Let's continue reading. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I wasn't going to stop here before, but the Holy Spirit wants me to say something here. This man held on to the word of God from the mouth of his man of God. He did not trivialize the word that came from his mouth, man of God. In fact, that word became a reality in his life. They were in the wilderness. They had a wilderness experience for 40 years. 40 years. I am a little older than 40. I can just imagine that the children that were born during the wilderness experience, the useless wilderness experience that they did not have to go through, this man held on. And now let's continue. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord, my God. Now, we're going to establish something else when we go to the book of Numbers chapter 13. But before we go there, Caleb was with Joshua. They were contemporaries, quote unquote, when they were sent to spy out the land. In other words, at that time, we will almost say that Caleb and Joshua was on the same level. I'll come back to the fact that I'm trying to make in a minute. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. The Lord has kept me alive. What is Caleb saying? The grace of God was with me during the wilderness experience. His grace has kept me alive. He did not say I struggled by myself. He did not say I did not try to give the glory for his being alive at that particular moment where he was ready to claim his inheritance. He did not give any other excuse, but he gave that glory exceptionally to God. He said, my God has kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. What a frustrating experience. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard. And in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out of the land, drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him. Pause. They were sent out by Moses together. They may have been classmates, but obviously Caleb did not need anybody to tell him that they were not grace mates. Caleb still had to come back to Joshua to receive a blessing from Joshua before he was sent out. Hallelujah. So what I am trying to tell you here is that when Caleb had a man of God that spoke the word, there was need for another man of God to establish that word. Because I can assure you that if you study the book of Numbers, if peradventure Caleb had left and said to Joshua, I don't need your permission, I don't need your blessing, you were there when God told me that I could go and that everywhere where I walked was mine, it might not have the story, but probably would have been different. But he, you see, for Caleb, it was more than the man. It was more about the God. And at that time, Joshua was the one who was seated with the responsibility to give out the land to each of the tribe. And incidentally, Judah was the largest tribe in that land, in that time. And yet, he still came with the children of Israel to claim his promise. He sought that permission. He needed the blessing from his present man of God, spiritual authority, before he set out to claim his promise. The promise was already his by right. God himself had confirmed the word to him and said that except Joshua and Caleb, no other person from their generation was going to see the promised land. And we're going to, when we go now, can we quickly, because of time, go to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 13, so that I don't want to feel like I'm speaking over your heads, just in case there's somebody here who needs an establishment of that particular fact. Now, from Joshua, I'm not going to read all of Joshua chapter 13, but I'm going to be reading a few verses. I'm going to start from verse 1 to 3. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this was the preceding event, the event that preceded Joshua chapter 14. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land which I am giving to the children of Israel from each tribe of their fathers. Stop. Fathers. Tribes of their fathers. Confirmation of the fact that this man's forebear, somebody in his ancestry, wholly accepted that the God of Israel was God. Full stop. You shall send a man, everyone a leader amongst them. Stop again. First, father, a leader. Oh, now let's go on. And so Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord. And all of them who were heads of the children of Israel, a Kenizzite ancestry, has risen to not just being a son of the land, he was also a leader and a head. I'm speechless about God. You see, this God that we serve is the eternal game changer. Before God will change his word, he will rather replace that man. If you think that because you have, I have God's promise on my life, then I can misbehave, warning. God will not change his word, but he will change the man. So that if you are saying you are not ready, he's going to shift you. And this promise has to be fulfilled. Who's next? It doesn't matter who that person is. As long as that person's heart is right with God. You see, God himself, God himself said that Caleb had a different spirit. He had a different spirit. When I was telling my children about this wilderness experience, my son said, so they were all whiners? I said, yes. Generation of whiners. Moses, rather than, let's pray for God to give us food. Moses, you want to kill us? We don't have food. God said, food. We can't, there's nothing to drink. You want us to die? Drink. We don't have meat. Give them meat. They had everything to whine about. This was a situation where they forgot that this God, who was with them as a pillar of cloud by day to protect them from the heat of the sun, it was also a pillar of cloud by night to give them illumination in darkness. It was like they just took too many things for granted. And I tell my children that only whiners do that. If you cannot appreciate what God has done for you in the now, you will never appreciate what God is going to do for you in the next 1 minute. You will always find a reason to complain. In fact, at this point, I think it's almost amazing that it felt like they had just quickly forgotten. They had taken God for granted. When you go from that same Numbers 4 to 16, verse 6 tells us that from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, someone who was not a natural born Israelite went and represented a whole tribe. By rights, it was not his. But once again, because the eternal game changer had stepped into that mix, he became the head, the son of a man from a tribe that he should not have been called a father of. But God is awesome. Who can ask him why? None. No one. No one. That's why I always call him the eternal game changer. Now let's fast forward to verse 17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. Now, Moses sent them with three instructions, three major instructions. First of all, they needed to go and check the land that they were, that the Canaanites, because this was the time, brethren, at this time, they hadn't spent 40 years. It was time God said, okay, now you people have wandered in the wilderness enough. It's time for you to go and claim your promise. Send men. Instruction number one, check the land. Instruction number two, check the people. Instruction number three, check the food. But I want us to go to the verse where God, verse 20, where Moses told them to be of good courage. Why did Moses say be of good courage? Because he knew the people that he was sending. Whiners. They're going to go there before they probably would have already had a mental defeat before they even stepped into the promise. Why would you think that God has made a promise to you and then in your own mind you have talked yourself out of the promise? Moses is indirectly telling them, do not talk yourself out of this promise. Just be of good courage and bring some fruit. Bring examples of what this land has to offer. Maybe I'm just in my own interpretation. I'm thinking that Moses might think that maybe when the people see the type of food this land has to offer, they will not whine or they whine less. But alas, 10 of the men that were sent, 12 spies were sent. It became a situation when they came back, they were there for 40 days. It became a situation of the minority versus the majority. And I'm deliberately saying the minority versus the majority. The 10 came and said, ah, the land indeed is good, but we have good news and bad news, Moses and Aaron. Pastor Moses, Pastor Aaron, we have good news and bad news. Truly, the land does flow with milk and honey. And this is the example of the fruit, luscious fruit, giant grapes, figs, luscious, everything about the land. Oh, obviously, good land will produce good fruit, right? But nevertheless, this is the bad news. The people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak. I can just imagine people screaming and saying, ah, Moses has killed us. He has sending us into the land of Anak. Have you not heard about the Anakims? They are giants. These people are trained for war. They know war inside out. They are so big. In fact, they made it even worse by even telling them, the people, the congregation, that we are like grasshoppers in front of them. If they saw us like grasshoppers. When I read that portion, I said to myself that if George Judy heard this, George Judy, you tell them to shut up. How do you know that you are like grasshoppers? Can you read their mind? In fact, they had already talked their way and defeated themselves out of God's promise even before the others decided to go and take a look by themselves. I can just imagine how frustrated Joshua and Caleb were. Now let's go to verse 30. I need to read this. The Bible says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it. Did you not hear what the 10 brothers just said? They say that we cannot. You are saying that we can. Let us stone them. These people don't know what they are talking about. They are crazy. So you want us to go and die.
You feel that to them, another complaint. God brought us out of the land of Egypt. Oh, we were so okay in the land of Egypt. God, we were eating, we were safe in the land of Egypt. Now you want us to go and get killed. Oh, did God, imagine the words. In fact, at this point, Caleb and Joshua tried to intercede, begging them not to say the words that will talk them out of the promise of God. Now, once again, I want to emphasize the importance of us not talking ourselves out of God's promise. After all, David faced the same giant in the person of Goliath. But he said that because my God is able to save me from the hands of lions and bears, then who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Now, Joshua and Caleb begged them not to do this. But they would rather stone them rather than listen. And immediately was like, God said, enough is enough. Moses, let me kill these people. I am ready to reestablish my covenant through you. I am ready to form a greater nation through you, Moses. Moses interceded again, but this time it was grace had expired. Can we pray that the Father do not let me take an action that will cause your grace over my life to expire? And why don't you lift up your voice and pray this prayer seriously? God, as God said, enough is enough. You have complained too much. Have you not seen my glory? You every minute complain. Rather than say thank you for all you have done for me, you are complaining. They had talked themselves at this point out of the grace of God. In Jesus' name we pray. This was where God by himself testified that all of these people 20 years and above will not see the promised land. Brethren, the promised land was 40 days by report of the 12 spies altogether. Everything took 40 days. So it was just a 40-day trip because of their whining, their moanings, their groanings, their discourse, their disbelief, their lack of faith. They talked themselves out of God's promise. When we look at Joshua chapter 14, verse 28, that Brother Dickon used to lead prayers today. This was God in his anger. He said, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. So because you have said we cannot do it, you will not do it. May the Lord have mercy on us in Jesus' name. In every situation that we may have talked ourselves out of the promise of God, whether coincidentally, whether accidentally, whether in a joking manner, may the Lord have mercy on us in the name of Jesus. These people talked themselves out of a 40-day trip. The Bible says they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. What if I told you that immediately the 10 got a plague, the bad news bearers? God gave them a plague and they died there and there. And then unfortunately for Joshua and Caleb, they also had to wander in the wilderness for 40 long years. Let me submit to you that who amongst us will not be bitter and say, but Lord, I didn't do anything. Father, you know my heart. I did not give these people a bad report. If anything, I told them that it was an exceedingly good land. And I told them, let's go up and take advantage of this promise now, because God has been with us. But Joshua and Caleb, they've decided to bear with the promise, with the punishment, holding on to their promise. Because God singled Joshua out. He singled Caleb out and told Moses that Caleb had a different spirit. What was that different spirit? He had the right spirit. He had a spirit that was born from the courage of faith. He had the spirit that says, it doesn't matter, all of you, continue making your noise. But I know what my God has said concerning me. He said that I am my descendant. I can't even imagine how many times he must have repeated it. There were too many naysayers, backbiters, people who had nothing good to say about Moses. After all, we had the likes of Korah, Dothan, and Abiram, even during the wilderness experience. You would think that people would have learned their lesson, but they did not learn any lesson. They still tried to create an uprising against the man of God. 250 plus people died in that wilderness because of rebellion, as if their foolishness was not enough. They decided by themselves that they were okay. We repent. Let us go. Moses told them, the Lord says, do not go. Oh, but we are able to. We will go. Oh, but they were whooped. The Bible said that when they tried to go in their own flesh, what would have been a victory of ease became a defeat. A glaring defeat for those that tried to go by themselves, by in their own might. So because of that, they wondered. I can just imagine, Caleb would have been saying, I know what the Lord has said to me. I will not falter. It will not fail. I believe that my God is true to his word. I know that my God cannot deny himself. God has made a promise for me and he will surely fulfill it. This is the same with Wisdom Assembly. The Lord has established a covenant with his son PC. I don't know about you, but I am 120% with that promise, that even if I cannot see it now, I know that with my spiritual eyes, I see them coming. I see to the point where this is not going to be, there will be too many people. That the ushers will be begging that, oh, hold on, there's going to be a second service. That people will be calling other people, reserve a parking spot for me. I am on my way. I don't want to miss the first service. People will be saying, I want to be an usher. Brother Priscilla will be tired of other people, people's applications, or people who want to be members of the choir. No longer shall anybody be begged to be a worker. People who want to be workers by themselves. Why? Because that promise is still going to come to pass. Caleb waited 45 years. 45 years. He could have been discouraged, but he was not. Oh, God, when God, my God comes late, it's because he wants to come big. When God comes late, it's because he wants to come big. Oh, I'm telling you right now that it might not look like it should be for you right now, but I have news for someone. I want to encourage you that God's promise does not have a statute of limitation. God's promise does not expire. Caleb was patient enough for 45 years. He said to himself, though it tarries, it will surely come to pass, because I serve the God who is the same yesterday, the God that's the same today, the God that will always be forever the same. He is unchangeable. He is irremovable. He is unchangeable. He cannot deny himself. For before God denies himself, oh, that can never happen. And that is the God we serve. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Amen. There are several lessons to learn from this man, Caleb. That God said he had a different spirit. May the Lord give each and all of us a different spirit in the name of Jesus, in accordance to Caleb. May he give it to our children in the name of Jesus. The second thing I noticed was that Caleb was a go-getter. He wasn't ready to sit down and wait. He was ready to go and take hold of his promise. He did not assume the fact that Joshua was there when that promise was being made. He still went back to Joshua and said, Joshua, remember, God said, and I am now here. I may be 85 years old. Don't look at my age. I am just as strong as I was 40 years, when I was 40 years old, as I am today. Meaning that, brethren, God is not a respecter of age. When God says, go and do something, do not look at yourself and say, I am too old or I am too young. We should not look at whatever assignment that God has given us as foolish. Because the foolish things to us, might just be that thing that God is going to use to establish us. That is the statement that I can make about Caleb. They were told to go and spy a land. Be of good courage. Come back and tell us. He saw the good of the land, while others said the land was a bad land. It was going to devour us. Let's not even bother going. They more or less talked the people out of claiming their promise. May the Lord separate us for such people in the name of Jesus. You don't understand what I am saying. God has made a promise to you, and then somebody comes and says, oh, how is that going to happen? May the Lord separate us from such people in the name of Jesus. I call them evil naysayers, negative news bringers. May the Lord separate them from us and our children, our husband, our wives, even from this church in the name of Jesus. I stand on the altar of God and I say that, Father, as you bring your children in from the north, the south, the west, and the east into 11225 Colorado Avenue, Kansas City, Missouri. Oh, Father, you will separate your church from negative sayers, negative news bringers, but you will fill your church with Calebs and Joshuas, with Aarons and Oz, with people of destiny, people who have an understanding that what God has said over my life, oh, Masaterebo, Sheke Masaterebo, that what God has said over the life of my children, it might not look like I am seeing it right now. It might look like it is shaking, but it's not going to scatter. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Masakerebos. Let me prophesy under the spirit of the Holy Spirit, God. Oh, Masakerebos. If peradventure any wilderness experience that you are going through right now is causing you to want to doubt, oh, the Lord is saying to someone, oh, have a different spirit. Be like Caleb. Don't be a respecter of time, because I will see it to pass. You will live and you will testify. Caleb testified at the age of 85. Oh, and yes, the Lord gave him peace. Oh, God's promise, when it's fulfilled, it brings peace. Because the Bible tells us that the land had peace from war. That is peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. It doesn't matter what is going on around. It doesn't matter what CNN is saying. It doesn't matter. It really, really doesn't matter. The question is, what does God say? What is God saying about my situation? I know I am over time, but I just need to quickly say this to encourage somebody's spirit, man. When my son Toby was in my womb, I can repeat this testimony 20 or million times. Because why? It was nothing about me. Because it was all about God. First and foremost, I'm sure a lot of us know the testimony of fruitfulness. My testimony of fruitfulness. So I will always and eternally be grateful to God for. Went to check his heart. The doctors were saying something about his heart, that maybe they needed to puncture something into my womb then, that they were not guaranteeing. I just said, you don't know what you are talking about. I'm carrying a child of promise. You say you don't hear his heartbeat? Don't worry, he's kicking. He won't let me sleep. Because I confessed it and it became my reality. My confession became my reality. I stood on God's word that I was carrying a proper child. So anyone, I am telling you right now, and I prophesy over you, oh, Masakerebo Shender, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, that it doesn't matter what the Lord, what the doctors are saying over your children. I want you to stand on the word of God. It doesn't matter how your children may be behaving. Stand on the word of God. Oh, Masakereba Shender, there are arrows arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Oh, it might not look like you are well. Tell the Lord that you are, don't confess that you are healed by his stripes. I am walking in the healing. I am walking in his healing. There's nothing can hold me down. Nothing can hold me down. Even if when I am down, I am up. Oh, when it feels like I am overburdened, the Lord is my strength. The Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. In every situation, as a wife, as a mother, as a child of God, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, I prophesy over you that the joy of the Lord is your strength in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can we just take a word of prayer and then I will close? The Bible says in the book of Numbers 11, verse 23, and the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. I want you to stand up and lift your voice and say, Father. Father, I know that your arms are not shortened and your eyes roam to and fro. I believe in your promises for me. I believe in your promises for my children. I believe in your promise for my spouse. I believe in your promise for your church, Wisdom Assembly. Oh, Father, I say thank you for bringing them to pass. Thank you, Lord, for giving them to pass. To our God, our Savior, who alone be wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. Amen. Can we give the Lord a clap offering? Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you, Lord.